well. So, and I think if we get through that alone today, I think that would be a great start. I think when we look at the value statements, we can talk about that as well today. And then I think the secondary phase of this exercise will be highlighting where we need to message. I don't think we're going to even touch on that today. I don't think we'll get to that. And that will also then bring in what editorial you want to drive, and whether, Neil, to your point from the last call, whether these are sort of topics that are more merged to start with and then split out in various different ways, that's fine as well. We're not tied to any one particular editorial style or strategy and whatnot. Any questions from anybody on the bridge?
So you really want to just have a dialogue about, answering these questions, thinking about these questions, the answers to these questions. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's real difficult to try to wordsmith in an environment like this, but if we get the core concepts and the points out there and talk through each of the areas and where our strengths are, what we're perhaps missing, think about how the different focus areas overlap as well. I think we can evolve the conversation into something more specific and tangible that we can plug into our campaigns. So before we start the conversation part, though, just another note around the framework, and this is based on last week's call and what we're hearing from the group. We want to initiate these campaigns early in Q1, integrate around major milestones, including events. We want to start the campaigns probably simultaneously or all in an integrated format, and then potentially diverge as or when needed based on those milestones. And then bearing in mind, there are a couple of macro concepts here, integrating the messaging from LFN with LF Edge. And unfortunately, Balaji couldn't make the call, but we're in close touch on the LF Edge side. There's the major LFN initiatives, CNTT, OVP, evolution of the VCO demo, et cetera, and project-specific focus areas from each of our 8 projects that we're collecting as well. And as we run these campaigns, we want to keep them flexible enough to evolve over time. We'll measure our results. We'll see what's working, what's not working, iterate from there, and then move on to the next phase throughout the year.
I think one other thing, Brandon, I think that we probably should touch on, if not today, on our next call, is who's our target audience with these campaigns?
That's my question. Yeah. Thanks.
Exactly, May. I think we also, as we go through this conversation today, we probably identify who those target audiences are, right? But before we get into execution mode and sort of messaging mode, good to kind of understand who we want to target and agree on who we want to target, I should say, and why.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So I've only got 3 more slides, 1 slide for each focus area, 5G, Edge, and Cloud Native. Maybe we start off with 5G. Certainly some things will be applicable to the other areas as well. Let me layer in here, target audience. And start talking it through. Note that on this slide, I have a bullet points around capabilities. This is something that we've pulled from the existing LFN doc as a starting point. This isn't necessarily an exhaustive list, but this is where we're starting to plug in where the LFN work and projects can support the campaign in that area. And as we were talking about, as some of you were just joining, and I see we've got Sebastian now from Lutza. Welcome, Sebastian. Azar and I were just talking about the KubeCon demo, which certainly broke a lot of ground in the 5G area and was a big success for us. this year. As we think about 5G as a concept more broadly, you know, we want to think about how we, you know, provide the tools, not only the tools, but the projects and the communities that come together and can solve challenges in this area and present a path forward for the industry. So we're coming up with the post-demo plan, which includes a solution brief, as well as a more detailed recording of sort of the lessons learned, and also the how-tos for people that want to start you know, looking at this as a model that they could potentially emulate in some form, give them access to the repos and the how-tos and the process by which they might be able to create something like that in their own lab environments or with partners or evolve the proof of concept. It's, you know, we had to pull it together in a finite way for the demo itself. But now that we're post-demo, I think we have a tool set evolving where users can potentially mix and match some of the things we've been able to produce. And we want it to be flexible for the industry and users in that way. So yeah, specifically 5G, you know, what are your thoughts here on the evolution of 5G? It seems like we've been talking about as an industry for a long time, and now moving into 2020, things are starting to get real. So would welcome thoughts from the group on the market at play around 5G and sort of where we fit in.
Well, I think one of the first things is that it's becoming very obvious to folks that 5G is creating a lot of opportunities for the edge. So there's a lot of crossover messaging and opportunities with 5G and edge. So under market dynamics, they're feeding each other, right? And so I think there's probably opportunities where in our messaging, we can make sure that we're exploiting that, or, you know, building on that phenomena, that trend.
Yep, I agree, Bob, and I take it even a step further. I think that, you know, we use these lines a lot from our perspective in Intel. 5G isn't just the next G, right? It's where cloud, AI, and edge converge from an opportunity perspective. Where 5G and the concept of 5G and capabilities that 5G brings around ultra reliable, low latency, you know, enhanced mobile broadband, et cetera, make those capabilities of edge, AI, and cloud more persistent from a service delivery perspective.
Right.
So the challenge, I mean, no one would question the, you know, juggernaut of 5G, but is the challenge for us that we believe that there's a large number of providers who don't understand the value of what LFN projects can bring to 5G? Is that the problem we're trying to solve for?
I think so, and also to the point how to use our projects to solve the problems of 5G, because there are a lot of complexities there. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, our quote unquote competition would be, you know, sort of proprietary mm-hmm. offerings. I mean, at least that's my take, but want to hear from others.
Well, I'm not sure. Point one, point two, Brandon, I don't know. You said you had three charts. There's two more. Did you want to go through these when we come back, or how do you want to manage the discussion here?
Yeah, just I want it to be a free-flowing conversation, and we can certainly touch on different areas, but just the way I've broken it out is, you know, this is a thought starter on 5G. My other two slides is a thought starter on edge and a thought starter on cloud native.
Yeah, Neil, don't worry too much about the slides. The slides are the exact same. They're just different titles on them and different capabilities.
Fair enough. know, there's no one, well, I don't know. Is there anyone from Cisco on the call here?
Not that I see.
Well, look, the point I was going to make is, I think one of the primary drivers for why Cisco contributed VPP to FIDO and ultimately to the LFN was because, you know, large enterprises and service providers pretty much told them point blank, we're not going to deploy, you know, closed systems going forward. Get over it. And so I think it's already, you know, a fait accompli that all carriers, service providers who are deploying 5G are going to go open and go open in a big way. The only question is, are they confident that it's ready for prime time? And do they know how to make it work? I do not know if that's the problem. I'm not a 5G expert, but that's my sense. And if those statements are true, that specifically speaks to what content we should be pushing to whom through a campaign.
I agree, Neil. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think if you look at the customer challenges and opportunities, I think the customer challenges is the same challenges they've had, you know, for the past 4 years, which is how do they break that sort of single function mindset? How do they break into a more open and democratized supply chain? And then the opportunity as well is, from a Linux Foundation and open source perspective, how do we use open source and open source projects to help accelerate that pace of innovation, right? And I think that's what operators, certainly speaking to me, will say are the key challenge, what keeps them up at night, but also what they expect back, right? What they're looking for from the open source community.
So let me assert something here, and you folks can challenge. I can't imagine there's anything we're going to discuss here today that the network engineers and the thought leaders that live inside of AT&T and Verizon and the tier one providers don't already know. However, I'm not sure that when you go to tier two and tier three XSPs, if the same is true. If that's a valid assertion, we now know what our target is. We don't really have to educate AT&T on anything. They're already going to KubeCon. They understand containers. They understand the evolution of the edge. They're telling us what to do. So we need not worry about messaging to them. What we're trying to do is solve a problem of broader adoption. And we believe tier two, tier three is unaware of things or uneducated of things. It's just an assertion.
Yeah, and Neil, I think that's a key market dynamic. I think you've just hit one of the key points of the market dynamic, right? Which is the tier ones tend to be the pioneers and understand and buy into this and have evolved it and influenced it, if you will, right? But to get scale from 5G perspective, not to get scale, for the tier twos and tier threes who are just looking now getting shit, how can I make more money, save more money? What are the technologies? What are the partnerships I need? I don't know where to start, right? And I think you've hit one market dynamic, which is really important. That is to hit scale across the tier twos and tier threes, you got to drive a lot more awareness and education are the value of open source and the projects within the LFN to support their 5G strategies. Would that be a good summary of what you're saying?
So if that is the case, then a key, a possible key campaign would be, listen, here's the problem we're trying to solve. The network engineer / network architect that works for a tier two, tier three is having trouble explaining to his boss, who's in charge of, you know, the stock price of the company, why they should move to open source for 5G and move there now. He doesn't know how to tell that story.
So if I can step in and kind of be the naysayer here, somebody has to play the role, right? Yeah, I totally agree. You're right. AT&T, Verizon, they don't need to be educated. I do believe, however, that there is a continuum, and especially when it comes to this transition to 5G, this period where we're trying to get there, where are we playing with open source? Because I don't think anyone is going to argue they're not going to use open source.
but there are so many different opportunities to balance and pick proprietary in some areas and open source in areas in other areas, right? And part of what open source does is provide that capability much more easily than they had before. So I think they're grappling with that of, you know, what pieces of open source do I want and where do I want to go proprietary, especially when it comes to speed, right? And they're trying to get this done much more faster than open source is letting them get there. So I think there really is still a heavy balance between the two in the tier ones, especially in Europe, right? I think you're right, within the Americas, they're much more advanced, but in Europe, there still is kind of a learning process on what they want to do with open source in the 5G network. So I'd say yes and no, I agree and disagree. I think there is some education to be had there, but really in the end, what we're talking about and the reason they're gonna obviously choose between the two is the services piece, right? And up-leveling the entire story, not just to 5G open source capabilities within the network, but really what we're giving to them. So I just wanna make sure that, you know, in the end that we're going all the way up to that level.
Yeah, I would agree. And don't take any of my statements as certain that I'm you know, expert, number one. Number two, don't take them as everyone in AT&T has the same knowledge base. We know that is not the truth.
Of course.
But if we start with a central premise, we will always be able to address those other folks, I think. And anyway, just trying to get to, if we were held accountable for starting a campaign tomorrow, what would we say? This is the problem we're attacking.
Right. And there's going to be a priority list too, to your point, right? You can't do it all. Which ones do we want to do first? What's the hottest target and the hottest story?
To your point, Heather, maybe one of the challenges is there are so many start points that the buyers / users are just, they're unclear where to start. They're stuck. They don't know where to start. We're not giving them guidance. Do this first, do this second. You'll get your biggest bang for the buck by doing X with our projects, right?
I think Bob wanted to say something as well, Bob.
So that's I was just kind of patiently waiting for, you know, folks to get their input in. And I agree with this line of thinking, and it leads me to a thought that I was having as I was, you know, reviewing the past day or so, the messaging framework that you've already put in place. And I think when I get to the end of that, I agree with most of the framework you put in place. When it gets to the end, when it's, you know, why do you care? I think we're a little bit weak on there. And one of the things that I'm in this conversation, I'm thinking that one of the challenges that these tier twos and tier threes are going to have is how do I take these technologies and projects that LFN is working on and moving forward, and how do I leverage them in the right way? And how do I make this stuff actually work? You know, when you do things like, you know, do the end-to-end demo, that's a phenomenal application of so many different open source technologies, and people are so interested in it because it's actually pulling it all together, right? And so in terms of customer challenges and target audience, I think the tier twos are a target audience. I also think that we should be targeting a lot more SIs, because I think there's a value proposition for a business opportunity that isn't being exploited as much as it could be by SIs out there that could take these open source pieces and put together end-to-end solutions for some of these houses, these MNOs that are not as big and sophisticated as the leading players, the tier ones, right? And need more help. And how do I cherry pick this stuff? And how do I make it work? And so I think there's a lot of, I'd like to see more in the why do I care section for a particular target audience as SIs. And hey, there's a big commercial support and commercial professional services opportunity that you could be exploiting here, if you were involved in these projects and had the expertise that, you know, you've seen some SIs, you know, like Ania and Tieto, and I think Tech Mahindra has been involved in some of these projects who are helping a lot of the members get things done in ONAP and some of the projects. But I think there's bigger opportunities there. And I don't see as broad participation from the SI players who I think are a big target, could be a big target for us as we're getting, as these things mature and we're getting closer to deployments. I think there's a lot of opportunities to start helping the tier two and tier three MNOs leverage this and deploy real solutions with the help of some experts who can put it all together for them and provide, you know, support and custom integration services, if that makes sense.
It does. It really does. The question that I probably ask as well, right, is that if let's say we have two target audiences, one is tier twos and beyond, and then one is SIs. Tier twos and beyond is awareness, right? We want to drive, it's the buyer journey, right? We want to drive education down the channel to these audiences that will help them, let's say, decipher the myriad of solutions and capabilities and projects already out there, right? And I think we measure success based off that awareness uptake. I think for SIs, do we have a potential KPI here for getting SIs to join LFN? Or are we still talking about, let's say, using LFI or using SIs or targeting SIs with showing them the business value, the business value proposition that's in existence that they may not already know of? It's just a question out there to the audience.
I'm not aware of a concerted effort.
So a couple of things have been...
Do you have any SI membership now?
Well, that was going to be my next question, Neil, exactly.
Accenture is a member. Tech Mahindra is a member. Obviously, the NEPs do have some SI sort of business units in them. Beyond that, I do not... believe so, but I'm also talking off the top of my head. I'm not doing a studied looking at our membership list right now.
I believe IBM is a member. IBM has an SI wing as well.
IBM's a member. I think it's coming more out of their telecom unit, which is sort of an SI unit, but
And so as with carriers, when we say SI, that's an enormous space. So are we talking tier one SI, the likes of IBM and Accenture, because we were saying we don't have enough of those globally, and that's who we want to target?
I think those are the more likely ones to join at a membership level, and I think joining LFN is naturally, you know, one of our goals, but also more broadly, it's helping the industry understand what tools and capabilities exist within these projects and communities. That they could be a part of, not necessarily, hey, join right away and then you can potentially work with these down the road. It's also, hey, here are some tools and here's what we're doing. You're welcome to start working with these now and maybe evolve a membership conversation from there. You know, since the start, we've had dual goals of, you know, joining LFN and building momentum, but then also, hey, use LFN and these projects and make tangible results.
So let me state a few things if I don't.
Yeah, go ahead, Azar.
Please, I've been listening. Market dynamics and customer challenges, right? Every customer that I've talked to, every provider that I've talked to, they really don't know how to put these projects together. So that SI comment is absolutely spot on. That if we can create some models, either through LFN, through CNTT, through something else, a reference model, that will help them tremendously. Two, they just don't know telcos. But, I mean, you're talking about tier twos, even some of the tier ones don't know how the whole cloud native approach is. They're still very box centric. They're still very, VM virtualized centric. So how does this whole cloud native world work? How do these projects help? And what questions should they ask the NEPs? They don't know that. I mean, they're going through evaluation phases now because per 3GPP, recommendations, the 5G core implementations have to be cloud native, but what does it mean to be cloud native? How do they, what questions do they ask the NEPs that it is truly cloud native, it's truly stateless, it's, you know, blah, 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 and blah. What is that criteria? They can help, they can, you know, it is of tremendous value to them if we can provide such a list that says, this is what makes things cloud native. Three, any kind of data they can get around, you know, performance, scale, would be incredibly valuable to them. Now, I understand that not every NEP would be willing to step up to test their stuff on performance and scale, but any guidelines we can provide to them saying, this is what you can do in a physical world, this is what will happen in a cloud native world, will be of tremendous value to these guys. So these are some of the challenges they're facing. Those, we can view those as opportunities in terms of how we can create material collateral, conversation campaign, you know, to address those specifically. Sorry if I was ranting.
No, that's excellent input. Really, really good. Yeah, no. I think actually, you know, and I'm just listening to everybody and not taking notes, hoping Brandon's taking notes and recording. Yeah. But I think that we're sort of overlapping and saying pretty much the same things, right? We're saying there's an ambiguous atmosphere out there with tier twos and tier threes in A, what to do, where to get it from, and how to do it, right? So I think, you know, without predicting or branch predicting what our content and our editorial is going to be, you know, it's obvious that we're going to need to do a little bit more education there. To get back to the point of the SI just for a second as well, Bob, you brought up a you know, and I actually agree, and I think it's a super suggestion targeting SIs. I believe as part of our SPC KPIs, Bob, we have a growth KPI for LFN. So maybe this is something that also can help, close that KPI into 2020 as well, right? If we're targeting potential SIs joining LFN, right? And maybe that is the KPI we want to do here, particularly on this audience, right? Do you think that's something that could align to what those SPC KPIs align with us?
I think so. I'm trying to, I sit on that committee too, and I was focused on one area. I don't remember how strongly that that recruiting part or growth part in membership came out in the overall KPIs, because different people were working different sections.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look at that. But certainly, yeah, I mean, I think that's got to be we need to start really driving the go-to-market and adoption and go-to-market, right? Incorporation, yep. Integration, and people deploying this stuff, right? So I think the SIs are really key there.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I just have one point to add. I think, so right now, the tier one operators in LF networking project is really a differentiator and our great value, our proposition to attract other members, including SI, to attend. So the tier one operators, they are creating real business requirement and use cases like in ONAP and other project, right? And they have a technical expertise, can share in the community. So really, I mean, we can educate SI and lead SI and help them, right? So they can be, so this is one of the opportunity for them to be part of it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also just kind of thinking about the assertion of how sort of sophisticated even the tier ones are. And I'm not sure, well, it depends on if we're talking sort of cloud native 5G, there's overlap. You know, if we're talking radio, I have every expectation that the network folks understand radio, and there are people and service providers as well as, you know, the traditional NEPs that understand radio better than anyone sitting on this call ever will. I think when we start getting into sort of different deployment paradigms and management paradigms of edge endpoints on that kind of scale, to touch on the edge bit, all of these are somewhat interrelated, deployment. And actually, as we kept saying with the SI question, you know, what upstream changes need to happen in CNCF to support networking models, how to make sense of networking in CNCF. And I actually think there are even more fundamental challenges than even just SI challenges. Networking in Kubernetes is simplistic for some very, very, very good reasons for hyperscalers that don't quite meet our needs. And I know that there are multiple projects trying to address that in CNCF. But I mean, Nazar, correct me if I'm wrong, that was one of our fundamental challenges doing the 5G demo. So I actually think even for your most sophisticated NOC person, and yeah, they're at KubeCon themselves sort of rolling up their sleeves, but even for the most sophisticated NOC person, the networking models to support 5G, certainly using Kubernetes, is actually not very well understood at all. Like, I think there are things that the telcos understand very well and some things that they don't when it comes to deployment paradigms of 5G, which actually kind of maybe feed more into the edge and cloud native area.
Okay, so Brandon, I think maybe for the interest of time, because we've only 20 minutes left, right? Why don't we just look at edge and cloud native in the same premise, right? Market dynamics, challenges, and target audience. I think we should keep value proposition for the next call, because I think that in itself is an hour long call, right?
Yep. Okay. Let's.
Oh, by the way, I wasn't putting a pin in 5G at all, right? I don't believe we're finished here at all. I think we need to come back to it again, but I think we've enough to at least start mapping out something.
Yep. And I think that's a good segue over into cloud native, and then we'll touch on edge last. I think it's worth pointing out that after our live keynote demo, a few hours later, there was a session around that it was given by Ray from Euricom and Frank from Red Hat about cloud nativizing your 5G network, and that room was filled to the gills. And during that presentation, Raymond, you know, referred back to the integration points of the demo, and there were several in his presentation. But that part speaks to, I think, the interest and the evolution of how this cloud native approach is working its way up the stack and through the network and then out to the radio software itself, where his group and Open Air Interface, for example, are going into this last frontier of software around the radio, and how players like O-RAN also fit into the picture. So also here on this slide, you'll see that the capabilities have shifted a bit. This is what we pulled from our communities as sort of the top level points that we want to communicate in some form on a macro level. I think we want to position LFN as a nexus point and as the community to come together and build these sorts of things. And again, the demo being an example of that. There are a number of projects within LFN you know, contributing in these areas and taking cloud native approaches. This number from OPNFE might need to be updated, but we're moving to cloud native approaches around continuous delivery, CI/CD, bringing that together. And you know, thinking of these as a way in which to build sort of the reference architecture that you mentioned, Azar, around, you know, applying this to some real world use cases.
Yeah. So I haven't been as close to some of these individual projects, but for example, I'm not sure when I look at the capabilities here, things that are being done, one of the things that I have a sense that there's not that many commercial VNF vendors who have actually made the transition to cloud native, or they claim they have, but it's sort of like the claims, you know, I virtualized my physical network function by putting it in a VNF, in a VM, you know, it's sort of baby steps. And I think there's two reasons for that. One, I think there's still, a big knowledge gap on how to really, you know, create something that's really microservices based and highly modular and truly cloud native. There's that challenge, and there's some special challenges with respect to state, for example. And then also, I think that there's just a lot of these, at least the independent, what I call the disruptive VNF vendors, you know, all the incumbent TEMs, they have lots of VNFs, right? They're internal that they've converted, but in terms of the independent guys, you know, the Palo Alto Networks, the Fortinets, the Riverbeds, these guys, not that many, as far as I know, have made the transition to cloud native. And I think part of it is they're too busy heads down, you know, just making money right now. And it's hard to find time in their, you know, space on their roadmap and capacity to rewrite these things, right? To do it right, you have to really rewrite the application. And so the under customer challenges here, I'm wondering if we could, you know, do some messaging around how we might be able to help people make that transition. Now it would require that we provide some evidence of that, of course, right? We may be doing some of that somewhere and it doesn't come out necessarily, but making that transition, if we're saying that we can be the nexus for VNF to CNF evolution, do we have some evidence of what we can bring out in terms of we can actually help people understand how do you convert a VNF to a microservices architecture, container-based CNF? That would be a huge value proposition, I think, if we had some strong evidence of how we're helping doing that. And if we don't have any strong evidence, you know, maybe that's an area where we could talk with the technical folks internally about, is this an opportunity for us that we could exploit and market?
I agree with what you just said about 1,000,000%. I think the vast majority of cloud native still exist in some giant players like the Googles and the Netflixes, and the rest of the world is still VNF. I know that's an extreme statement. We struggle with this ourselves, and it is for the very reason that you say. We're commercially busy on VNF. We don't have time to get to CNF. But if there was a clearer story of how that transition can occur, I think that's valuable to a ton of people.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm thinking here is, you know, and maybe I'm off track because I don't suspect that we really have this very strong, but strongly placed yet. But if we could go back to our technical teams and talk about this, I wonder if there's a way that we could collectively within the LFN, you know, put together a playbook, a blueprint. I'm using that term very loosely. I don't want to confuse it with edge blueprints I'm struggling for the right word, but you know, a cookbook, right? What are the best practices and methods you can use to break these applications apart and convert them properly, right?
I think that'd be cool. If I could add one thing, I'm not even sure if it is true or if it is well understood, but every network function that can and should be virtualized necessarily should be containerized. I mean, if you're familiar with the concept of, you know, cows and pets, we take care of pets and we just kill cows and eat them and get the next one. Does every function need to be containerized? Aren't there some that are less ephemeral?
Right.
And does the market understand that? And are vendors even telling that story properly? Isn't there going to be a mix of containers and and VNS going forward, or is that not true? I'm not sure that's well understood.
I'm not sure either, but I think it's an opportunity, and I think this is one of the big challenges.
Well, I can confirm that it is not well understood. So,
okay.
Because that's a conversation I have with every provider as my day job. So,
who is that speaking?
This is Azhar from Red Hat.
Ah, yes. Thank you.
So I think this discussion is bending into there are really good opportunities just for thought leadership around education. What is this stuff and how do you even think about it? That doesn't seem to be, before we even talk about, here's how you go implement it, you know, Mr. XSP or what have you. I don't know, but just the nature of this call is starting to confirm things that I thought, what if I'm the only guy on the call who has these questions?
Yeah.
And I know I was saying this, and sorry, I'll try not to ramble again, but that I think when we start talking cloud native, I think that the sort of depth of knowledge is sort of lacking a little bit across the board in terms of networking for Kubernetes and what actually might still need to be done in CNCF to support that. The cloud native design paradigms and three, what you were just saying that, you know, is it desirable to have everything be cloud native or not? Also hybrid and migration approaches. And then also what is the reference architecture for cloud native? Because I know CNTT is taking this up and we've got a table of contents so far.
I mean, Sebastian here from Lutze, I think we should also show the reality. Even if we say long-term goal, everything should be CNF-based. It will be for many, many years a hybrid module or hybrid operation model, which you somehow need to target. And what I'm seeing is also a lot of customers are same discussion as there was for 5G. They don't know how to do this projects, even like start doing this projects, enable the directions.
Right.
So Heather, from an LFN positioning, you know, point of view, we latched onto, you know, CNFs at the start of LFN as a key area that which we wanted to develop quote unquote thought leadership in, realizing that it's going to be a hybrid world for a long time and embracing that, not getting ahead of ourselves, not getting over our skis, but at the same time, starting to define, you know, what CNFs, you know, really are and why they make sense and why you can start evolving in that way while at the same time not neglecting, you know, the current realities and sort of a best of both worlds for the foreseeable future. But, you know, CNFs are still so new that I think there's also the education part becomes important on, you know, what do we mean by that and what is it and why is it of benefit and how can the two work together for the foreseeable future.
I'm particularly curious, you know, Sebastian and Azhar, I think, and Stephanie in particular, I think you're probably very deep in the world of explaining cloud native and CNFs to the operators. Like you're probably closer to the cutting edge with that. What do you think would be of highest value and what are the target audiences? I mean, for here, I really think developers are a target audience because I think that we need developers to help us answer some of these questions from a technical point of view. And this is an area where developers want to work. And I think this is an area where we're still in more of an R&D phase than an ops phase. Also, correct me if that's a poor assertion. But you know, where do you think the big gaps in knowledge are? What do you think are the sort of the biggest pain points in your conversations? Because I know that you're probably having a lot of cloud native kind of conversations based on sort of just where I know your companies and roles are. Other people can chime in too. I wasn't trying to sort of just pick on a couple people.
From my perspective, I think I fully agree. Like, I think we should target the developers. And I think networking is still like somehow boring, not like for special people, but for like developers, somehow boring. I think we need to make it really clear. Networking is one of the biggest distributed application you can build. And which could run on Kubernetes and even like across multiple clusters. And this, I think, then it gets also really interesting for developers who are building like backend things like this, because it's not only shipping packages from A to B, it's really like building like a highly distributed application on top of, in best case, cloud native, and how to do this. And like from the main challenges, like, lack of knowledge at our customers. So they have a few people who really understand that already, but most people are not there yet, and they even don't have a plan how to get their whole organization there. Because on the one side, the one thing is the technology, but what is much more complicated, it's like the organizational and the people change, that you need to transform your whole organization in a different model. And this is what I'm seeing on a regular basis. Even that they start POC projects, later it gets stuck because they don't change the processes inside of their organization.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Sebastian. I think what I would add to that is, I think you had said we should target the developers. For me, they're much more comfortable with cloud native and what is cloud native, maybe not how to, but what is. But up leveling that to the project level is where we're seeing the hitch up, and where there's some folks where there's a breakdown between those two layers, and what that means to get there, and with regards to all these projects, how all these things can relate to enable this. So I think the problem is a level above that. But yes, we're seeing the exact same things.
So it strikes me from this conversation that if we were to try to decide, well, what do we go do that we would look back a year from now and say, hey, that was success. I'm wondering if our campaign strategy / content strategy shouldn't be a really high level thing and a very topical thing. And by that, I mean, what if we had three books at the end of this year? They're sort of the for dummies type books. So they're very broad in nature, 5G for dummies, edge for dummies, cloud native for dummies. And then we have a blog, which is very, very topical, that we decide, hey, we really want to cover a bunch of deployment issues, performance questions, how do you integrate this stuff questions. There's just no way we're going to develop a broad set of content collateral pieces quickly. But if we targeted a few topics and put them in a blog, and then the purpose of the campaign is to drive traffic to the blog, you're effectively making the LFN more of a thought leader in this space that's highly confused.
Agree. That's a good point. And just recognizing time, we're only got 4 minutes left, and that's not nearly enough time to fully explore the edge, but wanted to bring the conversation back to that and surface high-level questions around edge that we need to ask ourselves here going in. So these are the edge-specific capabilities, as in the current LFN messaging doc. Neil, I saw you were in the doc before the call and added an additional one around FIDO VPP. Thank you for that. This also relates to how LFN and LF Edge are going to coordinate and integrate going into next year. So that is an ongoing conversation that we can include the LFN community in. And I see Jill's on the call now as well. And we'll bring Balaji into it. You know, I think they've made some progress in terms of explaining Edge to their market and ecosystem. As it relates Edge to networking, is there still some gaps here we need to fill in?
Yeah. And Brandon, just a quick note, this exercise that this group has done with creating a master narrative is something that LF Edge is going to be taking on in Q1. So once that group gets kind of that storyline or that narrative arc established, from there we can go on and talk about how we integrate with things like networking. And we'll be looking to this group to do some cross-project work for sure.
So from a perspective of our, let's say, traditional audience within LFN and LF networking, you know, ones that aren't necessarily working on the edge yet, I think we need to, you know, build the story a bit, like you say, Jill, on why this is important and how the edge is transforming networking in a pretty massive way when you look at some of the projected growth market projections around the industry and edge and how it's growing big and perhaps even bigger than the cloud at some point. It's all still very new and still Wild West. So as we get more tangible and tactical, I think, Neil, your overall point about, you know, trying to identify what we can do at this point and how we can position ourselves as a place to get the thought leadership, and then from a community point of view, come and engage and work on these areas together. I think if we try to do too much, then we spread ourselves too thin and we don't end up doing much at all. So we're sort of bringing down the funnel of what's possible into where our sweet spots are and a few tangible things we can focus on in each one of these areas. So when we do look back at the end of 2020, you know, we feel like we made the right play and we positioned ourselves in the right way.
When's the next call?
Good question. To be continued. I think, Breen, you mentioned, you know, perhaps having one or two more calls early next year.
Yeah, I think so. I you know, we're certainly not going to do call this day week or the week after that. So maybe we should aim for the 8th of January, maybe for the next call.
Yeah,
and maybe another one then towards the 22nd, right, to give people a bit of breathing space.
I think so.
Does that work with everybody?
Does for me.
Sounds good.
Good. Thanks, folks, for all your input today. By the way, it was really, really good. It felt like I was on an analyst call with some very senior analysts who really understand this industry really, really well. So thanks, and I learned a lot from you guys today as well, which is good. So, and happy holidays to you. We won't see you now until we want to talk to you until the new year. But may you have a nice, peaceful time with your loved ones.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays. So. Happy New Year.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.